Great.
All right. And we have begun, just like we did last time. We are on our second episode, number two of The Current Frame, with Sarah, Anne, and Mary.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Well, this is fun. We're having our second one, and we've had our friends and family and our dear ones listen to the last one. And I was advised that high fives are not allowed on a podcast, which was by my daughter.
So. I will high five if I want to.
That's what I am. She ought to know. But apparently, you know, that's like smiling on a podcast and no one can see it or something. I don't know. Anyway.
But they can hear it.
They can hear it. And actually, to be honest with you, the people who have heard it really enjoyed it. So I'm glad we're back for number two. And we were just having a casual 2-hour conversation before this, and so you'd think we didn't have anything else to talk about, but funny enough, we do, and we are going to introduce ourselves, and then we will roll into our subject. So, Sarah, would you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I love helping visual artists and other people who are creative in visual fields express themselves in words.
And?
You're next, Mary.
Oh, am I? I'm Mary Jennings of Mary Jennings Art, and I really enjoy for folks to feel welcome and leave inspired. And I just want them to leave. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know why I want them to leave. They can come back and share about how they're inspired. But I really do enjoy teaching and mentoring, and I also paint.
Great, I'm Anne O'Dell. I empower people to make a better quality of life through the arts. I build and manage programs that link artists with other artists, artists with the community, and artists with resources. And I am in a lovely transition period in life in general, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, that's interesting, because transition comes and transition goes. It just changes shape. And we were just having this fantastic conversation about what it takes to sort of stay focused in the long journey through transition, whether it be professionally or just, you know, over the years with your career, which when you have a career, it's more than just a profession. And especially us, I think, being involved in the arts, we are definitely in line for that kind of thinking. So we were having a conversation about sustainability and goal setting. And we were also having a sort of side conversation about the benefits to using graphic charting techniques, mind mapping, all that sort of thing to help visualize your goals and sort of chart your success. So, Sarah, you shared with us last week some article that mentioned a sustainability checklist. Tell us more about that.
Exactly. So the article was meant for artists to take care of themselves, first of all, so that they have the strength and the endurance to stick with their goals and to respect themselves and respect their own time. Don't let people impose on you because you're just painting or you're just noodling around in the studio. And then it also really emphasized that you need to make specific plans and stick to them. So something like writing something down on the calendar and committing to that time to build your business or to work on your goals, just like you would a dentist appointment or meeting your mom for lunch or meeting a client in your studio or potentially meeting up with a collector, for example. You wouldn't cancel on any of those people. Hopefully you wouldn't. And so you shouldn't cancel on yourself. So it was kind of about taking care of yourself and committing to your work and committing to growing your practice. And how can you really implement that? What are some simple tools? So first thing, write it down on the calendar, make an appointment with yourself and stick to it.
I love that. And we shortchange ourselves all the time with how much time we need, I think, also. Mm-hmm. So you say make time for yourself. It's more than 10 minutes.
That's a really good point. Yeah. It should be a longer block, maybe a whole morning.
A whole morning. And you should give yourself your best time.
Mm-hmm.
Not the, I mean, I know we all can't indulge in, you know, if we've got a daytime job and we're trying to make our art at night or whatever, or do something that we really care about, we can't always just sit there and say responsibilities go out the door. But if you have no fuel and you're trying to work on fumes, that's, you've got to find another time.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can give yourself your best.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that, but I don't do it often enough. And Sarah, Anne, did you read the article, or did you have any thoughts on that?
I did look through it. I read it. I think, going back to my days as a singer, I would wait tables and then afterwards go and practice. And how horrible that was for me as a singer, having had to talk so loudly in a restaurant over all these diners, over the music, over all the noise, and then have to go and sing for 2 hours. Mm. Talking is the worst thing you can do. Whispering and talking are the worst things you can do for your voice.
Yeah.
So I switched it once I got a quote-unquote desk job, which was the first job in the arc of my career that I consider to be in arts administration. And I flipped it. I found a practice room at a college campus that was not too far from my apartment. I could get there in 30 minutes on a bus. And I sang at 8 o'clock in the morning till 9:30 in the morning.
Ooh, perfect.
Mm-hmm. And then I went to work.
Did that set your day up differently?
It did.
What kind of decisions, I mean, because you treated yourself to that really good slot of time, did that impact the rest of your day as far as the decisions that you made were based, I mean, I hear about the domino effect. And so, you know, the first thing you do makes the next one bigger and the next one bigger.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of decisions do you think were
impacted? I think I was happier in general. Singing is actually a very athletic activity. So all the oxygen, it's like working out first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that set my day off in a way that I didn't have to think about it the rest of the day. Oh, I have to go sing, I have to go sing, because I have to reserve my energy. I have to hold back my energy. When I gave my energy to the most important thing that day, now I can give the rest of it, which was, you know, still extensive, to everything else I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could go home and take care of whatever I needed to go take care of, and then go to sleep. So I think I was able to give more of myself in general for the rest of the day, because I wasn't having to measure out and estimate how much I need to give in order to do this. I'd already done it. And I had plenty of energy when I did it, and then it just gave me more, I think, assurance throughout the rest of the day that I could do what I needed to do.
And what was the result of all that practice? Did you have something you were aiming for, like an artist has a show, or what were you aiming for?
So I was in school then, and that was a recital. And it was a very big body of work that I had to work on, so.
Mm.
It was definitely worth the focus. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Aren't those sweet times when you have like a really regular schedule? Like you remember those times where, you know, either you went out to work out and the first thing, like having just a patterned scheduled time. I always remember, like I've experienced those times, and I love those times because you feel like you're doing the best thing for yourself. And then you get sort of like, it doesn't take much to sort of break it. And then you get all sloppy for a while, and then you get out of practice, and then you have to bring yourself back to something. And I think, you know, while having a system set up where you can actually indulge in good time is wonderful, but I think if you don't have that written out, that's your golden sweet spot of energy and everything, you might flounder around and not go back to it.
I also need unstructured time. So also within that, set aside maybe a Sunday if you can.
Oh, definitely.
You don't plan anything. You go do it. You have no plan, no structure that day. You're just going to go do it, whatever you're going to do.
Definitely no structure. And in gardening, that's where you have most of the garden done, but you have one plot that's sort of resting. It's not, the whole garden isn't taken over with stuff. You've got a cover crop, it's resting for the year. So I was always like, that's definitely important to rest. But we were talking about finding those sweet times and goal setting. What does goal setting look like for you guys?
For me, it's important to write it down. Mm-hmm. And it's also really important to tell other people about it. Mm-hmm. And telling the people who are going to keep you accountable. So it might be that in a month I'm going to write 5 blog posts and I'm going to tell Mary and Anne about it as well as our audience. And then I'm going to stick to it and have that amount of blog posts by that time.
I like that. So you've got the quiet time where you're writing, mm-hmm. and then you've got the time where you've put it on broadcast. And mm-hmm. and I do think that that you're right. Sharing it with somebody out loud is certainly something. I read somewhere where they had employees in a situation where they were just doing their work and they had the same sort of environment where it was, you know, the same lights, the same mm-hmm. music, the same thing. And then one day they just sort of switched things and the employees were more engaged. They were more productive. Yeah. And then they switched it another day. And again, the quality of work improved. All that's to say that I think we, apparently the employees felt like they were being seen, like they were being watched, like something was changing because they were being observed or something. So I think being watched and having something change or slightly will impact. Like at the gym, mm-hmm. you're going to work out better than you probably would in your living room because you're being watched.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm not being watched, but I...
Might be sort of
a creepy one.
The yeah. group motivation,
it is
being
the group
part
motivation.
Of a group.
Yeah, those yeah. shared workspaces. So, I mean, we're sort of like that. We, mm-hmm. we've kept talking for 2 hours, kind of checking in with one another. And do you have anything to add to that, Anne, about goal setting?
Well, I think going back to the idea of transition, life is one huge transition. And there are points along the way where the transition is more radical than others. And so I knew last fall, in like October of 2017, that this summer was going to be a major radical point of transition for me. So I planned in advance for that. And I knew, you know, that's when I hired my job coach. That's when we started going the WAMs, like Mary and I started when we met Sarah. And that's when I started thinking in a much bigger piece of time, as in years. I'm looking now for the next minimum 5 to 10 years. I'm actually looking now about where do I want to settle down and live mm-hmm. in nice. A much different way than I have before. So the transition is much bigger in that it's broader in scope. It's my entire life. It's not just, oh, I'm going to change jobs. Oh, I'm going to maybe move to a new place. This is one big holistic change. Mm-hmm. And so I had to be very clear about my intentions. I had to be very clear about the goals and the vision that I had and for how I would get there. So we talked earlier, I was telling you about how my timeline that I originally set for myself was very compressed and very fast.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it's in reality, it's taking a lot longer to accomplish these things.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It makes sense that it would. But I think that's the other thing with goal setting. You should have the goals and you should speak them out loud, absolutely. Because that also helps you overcome any fear or anxiety you might have about it. And then, I forgot what I was going to say.
I want to talk a little bit about this idea of graphic facilitation, because Anne, we were just talking about speaking our goals, and I know that Anne wrote hers down, and I like to write mine down as well, and we might see in the process that we need to shift a little bit because things are always changing, we have to adapt. It's a little bit like making a sketch and having those kind of searching lines, for example. Mm. So how can you make it easy for yourself to get those ideas down and then make adjustments so you don't feel like you're failing right. or letting people down if you're not able to meet them due to some kind of outside circumstances that you mm-hmm. can't control. So Mary, do you want to talk about that graphic facilitation a little bit?
Yeah, the wonderful part about graphic facilitation is we are visual thinkers, whether we think we can draw or not, or whether we think we're mathematical or not. The brain, so I've read, is wants to seek pattern and wants to see things sort of work. Mm-hmm. You know, they like puzzles. And so they actually recommend sometimes when you are designing either an advertisement or a piece of literature that you leave something slightly off or wrong, so that it attracts the eye of the person, the viewer, more because they want to complete it. They're engaged in it because they see something that needs completing. Or the blank space gets more attention. But the thing about graphic facilitation is it sort of gives you a roadmap or some very big areas to help you think through these things, mm-hmm. where it's, you know, the big idea would be like a target. We're Westerners, so it would be on the right because that's where our goal would be, mm-hmm. ultimately, our path.
We think left to right because that's how
right.
we read.
So then you would have things like large arrows going to the target, and you can make a timeline where you can divide the arrow into segments, vertical segments that would represent the time. And or something like a bubble diagram that actually has, you know, a big main point, you know, and that could also be a goal. And then you sort of, you know, you do other circles around that are other ideas that would help support the achieving the goal. And you just look at that and it screams, you know, getting it done. Like you just, mm-hmm. you see it and you're like, I can see it. You know, I can see this happening. It's almost like the paintings, when I did murals, it's funny, I would always do, I would deliberately have the composition go sort of almost like a path, you know, it'd be a pathway, sort mm-hmm. of draw you in to the mural. It would also make the wall not look flat. It would make this whole space open up, so it wouldn't be just a flat painting on a wall. It would have some distance and some perspective. And so, I mean, the brain is very visual in that way. And the thing I want to, and with drawing it, obviously it sort of makes it more casual, you know, and you can add to it, mm-hmm. you can change it, and you can accent it. You can do so many different things. They've got little diagrams that you can do that are very simple, and it just breaks things down very simply. But when you were talking, Anne, and talking about goals and talking about timeline and talking about your transition that you're in, the thing that occurred to me was, and I was thinking about it in graphic terms as a drawing, but, you know, when we've got a goal, I don't think we think big enough. And I think, you know, where you're thinking a job and then you've got all these other things that might be contingent on the job. What if you thought beyond the job, like something really huge that really just sparked your interest, kept you curious, got you excited, even more so than a job? I mean, a job that did that would be great, mm-hmm. but what if in your goal setting, what if you thought about something that was so big and so beyond anything that you can imagine? That would be so much fun to then sit there and point to how to get there, because then you've overshot the job. The job is just one of the steps,
yeah,
and it's not the goal. And I think that is really awesome. Like, what is your why? You know, what is your big thing that just, you know, would make everything? Because where you live would be impacted by that, or, you know, those things. I think so, we don't think big enough.
So maybe you start with a huge idea, like, what's the impact that I want to make on the world? Mm-hmm. And you define that. What is my legacy?
Yes.
And then you start thinking back to what's the type of job that could help me make an impact in that type of way? Or what is the kind of day that I want to have that's going to make me feel really great? What do I want my life to be like? Where do I want to be living? Like you said, sort of like location, but also who do I want to be living with or near? Who do I want to surround myself with? So I think that's a good idea to think about it in this holistic way, mm-hmm. in terms of the big picture. Because that might help you figure out some things that you hadn't thought about before, some important steps to maybe take.
And also, we also talked about just the process of drawing those things out.
Yes.
In your brain. It gives you time to sort of meditate on those things as you're sort of using, you know, a big marker, mm-hmm. with big paper, and you're drawing these things out. A huge help, a tool for
right.
our brain as we sort of use our body to do this. It's not
yes.
on a computer.
No.
We're not trying to tackle an app, you know, goal setting app.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just basic paper, some good markers, colors.
Yep.
You know, and play. It almost seemed like play rather than goal setting. Mm-hmm. So you get to daydream.
Don't be precious.
Don't be precious.
Get the butcher paper.
Yeah.
You can use the good markers if you feel like it. I also want to, or crayons, whatever you, glitter crayons or glitter glue. I'll be really good. And also,
honestly,
go ahead.
Post-it notes are the bomb.
Yeah, I was going to say post-it notes. Yep.
Yeah, because you can peel those off.
You can peel them off. You can move them around to different places on your target or in your arrow. So you get your big drawing going that helps you visualize moving towards your goal, whether it's crossing a bridge to a beautiful sun that says vision in the middle of it, like you just showed us, or whether it's that arrow moving towards a big target or a star, however you want to make it. So you can write down those things that you think are going to help you get to the goal. And then once you've looked at it and thought about it for a little bit, you've got those on post-it notes, and it might help them when you can sort of move those around, shift them around a little bit. Then maybe you can finalize your drawing at some point or not, but at least you have the kind of steps that have been floating around in your mind maybe, or you discover some new steps that you hadn't been floating around because you hadn't done this exercise yet. And then that might help you to kind of solidify what you want to do and then start being able to enter those things onto your calendar, put those things into the time that you've carved out for yourself.
Right, and it's kind of big and obnoxious, so maybe just leaving it up. What about that? What if you left something like that up for your folks to see, for friends to see when they come over? How do you feel about that? What do you guys think about that kind of thing?
Hey, it's another way to keep yourself accountable.
Yeah,
or being vulnerable.
That's true.
Because a lot of times when you make these big plans for yourself, you do have to explain to people who may see this as, that's not you. Where'd you get that idea? What?
Yeah.
Really? You're going to do that? Like, I learned to recruit like some years back. You're going to learn to recruit?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And I'm good at it, too. You're like, what? Really? So be prepared to have people ask questions about it. They're not necessarily questioning you, who you are. They might be. They might also be surprised that they never knew you had these aspirations for yourself. So, you know, and then there may be people who try to discourage you, and there may be people who are envious of you, but they can't be allowed to detract from your vision for yourself. I'm not saying only listen to the good things that will boost you up no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You should be realistic, but also don't be around the people that will take that joy away from you.
Mm-mm. No, and actually, to be honest with you, people asking questions is an opportunity for you to sort of solidify your clarity on it. Mm-hmm. And as artists, we get this with our own works of art all the time. And they're like, that's not you. Yes, it is me, or something. It's almost the same thing with a piece of artwork, you know, and you have to sit there and explain and that sort of thing. And it's productive.
And that could also be on them. Maybe they haven't taken the time to get to know you.
True. And you'll actually also maybe inspire them somehow to do that. Well, this has been good. Any takeaways from this? Any like action items for us or the audience?
Keep my goals visual.
I like that. I like that. And I like the post-it notes because sometimes I'll make like little cute notes for myself. Like it could even be a visual,
mm-hmm.
like the path going to the sunset or something, mm-hmm. and that will remind me of my goal. I like that. Keep goals visual. I like that a lot. What about you?
Write it down.
Mm-hmm. And make sure you can approach making the goals.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if it's just floating around in your head, you're just going to stress about it.
Oh, yes. Absolutely correct.
Write it down and take
the
first step.
In your head.
Exactly. It's total garbage in your head. You've got to put it down and you've got to find a way to look at it and approach it differently.
And all of these things are good too, because even if you folded it up and you put it in a drawer and you opened it up like months later, how powerful would that be? You'd be like, oh, I actually did those things. Yeah, that's pretty cool to think about. Well, I think we have done a fabulous job of describing our current frame. It is a beautiful day here in Clarendon, Virginia, and we are now in the studios at the Gallery Clarendon, and we are in the upper area. If you want to ever come see us, we won't be here, but you can come on, see us. Yeah, we'll be
you can come
here,
see the gallery.
But if you ever want to reach out, leave a comment or send an email, you can send it to I don't know. I think there might even be an email associated with this, but I think this podcast is great. I think we'll keep doing it because we have something to say. And we definitely have a current frame of mind. So thank you.
Thank you.